Good morning. Most all of you know that Shirley and I, in last January, 1st February, went to Hawaii. And all you can basically say about it is it's a pretty nice place. But I probably would want to live there. But it was really nice. And the day we came back, and I can't remember the exact date, but it was the day that we got 8 inches of snow. I think it was about 8 inches of snow. And our son-in-law had dropped our car off the airport, so we got it loaded and headed out of the airport toward Altoona. It took us an hour to get to Altoona, and it's normally about 15 minutes. And we were driving along, and the snow was coming across the windshield like this, and we got behind a truck, and it sprayed so much snow that we couldn't even see. And I kind of glanced over at Shirley, and she glanced over at me, and you could about guess what we were both thinking. A day or two later, she looked at me. I was making out a talk that I gave previous to this one, and she looked at me and says, "You ought to make a talk about paradise." So here we go. We're going to talk about paradise today. I looked in our Random Houses Collegiate Dictionary, and one of the definitions of paradise in there is a place of extreme beauty, delight, or happiness. A place of extreme beauty, delight, or happiness. And I thought at the time, that is a good description of it, of Hawaii. You know, we went to, we're talking January here, and we went to Kauai first on Waikiki Beach, and we stayed there, and it's really busy there, but it's really nice. And one of the highlights was that they have outdoor restaurants there because the weather's so beautiful, and many of you have been there, many of you know. But we were sitting there, we ate dinner there every night, and we were sitting there, and over on the next resort, right across the barrier from us, there was a guy in a white suit illuminated by a light, and he was speaking into a microphone. And as I listened to him, I realized they were having a luau over there. And so that was the program for their luau, and it was a reenactment of Kamehameha's conquering of Hawaii, and it was very interesting, very good luau program. So we got to sit there that night and watch a free luau. And when we got to Maui, stayed at our resort, they had a luau too, but we had to pay for that one. So the one in Kauai was better. But that was one of the highlights there. The sunsets, we got pictures of sunsets on Waikiki Beach, and it probably is a lot of the attitude that it's places we hadn't been before, and we're just looking for the best. But the sunsets on that beach and across that water were amazing, and the pictures don't do it justice. It was absolutely amazing. The weather was beautiful. It was so warm in January that people, after an hour and a half after the sun went out, were still out on the beach. I imagine they were pretty well fortified, but they were still out there. And the weather was just gorgeous. We went on to Maui, and once again we had an outdoor restaurant. And as you walked up into the indoor part of it, there was a seating area out here that you could sit outside and be kind of elevated, and you could see a long way. And we ate breakfast there every day. It was in our package. And at about 8:30 every morning, or 9 or so, or whenever we got around, we would go and sit on this elevated area and eat breakfast and look out onto the ocean. It was great. We saw whales, paddle boarders. I was amazed how far out the paddle boarders went. They were like little dots out there. I'd been scared to death to go out that far. But they were paddling out there, and then one of them, one time, you could see a whale calf come up out of the water just right beside him. And I was thinking, wherever there's a whale, there's a mother. So I don't know how close he was. It was too far away. We had swimmers that every day, two sometimes, three sometimes, that would come from out of our range of view and swim about 30 or 40 feet in the ocean all the way across our resort area, all the way down to the next one. I was amazed. The people that worked there said they were either training for an event, or they also trained Navy SEALs trained there. So they might have been training for Navy SEALs. But I've never seen anybody swim so long, so steadily in my life. It was amazing. So many amazing views and so many amazing things. And the weather and the scenery and everything was so great. I took an outrigger canoe trip and got within probably, I've told some of you this, got within probably 40 feet of a mother whale and a calf. And it was amazing. And I happened to look back to the back of our canoe, and a whale breached out of the water horizontally, clear out, completely out of the water. It wasn't like this. It was completely out of the water. And it's a good thing he was 40 or 50 yards away, because if he'd have come down close to us, we might have been in trouble. And as it was, we just got a little tremor in the water there. But I was thinking later on that evening, we were out on our patio there, I was thinking, such diversity. I mean, you know, we don't see it in Iowa. And it was our first time. It was amazing. It was amazing. But such diversity in climate, in atmosphere, you know, there has to be a God. I was thinking, there has to be a God. You know, how could you look at nature, the diversity in it, and how it exists without thinking there has to be a creator? There just has to be. And I could go on about that too, because most of you know that's one of my passions. And I've done a lot of study about proofs of God, and we could go on and on about that, but we won't. But when I speak of tropical weather, constant sunshine, peace, tranquility, what do you think? Paradise. Paradise. Paradise on earth. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. One of the other definitions in the dictionary was a state of supreme happiness. A state of supreme happiness. And I'll go there in a few minutes. The next three definitions were interesting to me. Now, we're talking about Random House Collegiate Dictionary here. We're talking about a secular publication. And the next three definitions of the word paradise read as such. The first one says heaven as the final abode of the righteous. The next definition says an intermediate place for the departed souls of the righteous awaiting resurrection. Okay? An intermediate place for the departed souls of the righteous awaiting heaven. And the third definition just simply stated Eden. Now, it was interesting to me that in a secular publication such as a dictionary, we had 3 out of 5 references having to do with the spiritual. And I don't have any deep conclusion about that or anything. It was just interesting to me. And I want to go on here in that vein. I looked at Vine's Bible Dictionary, and the word paradise comes from paradisos, P-A-R-A-D-E-I-S-O-S. And Vine's dictionary reads like this. An oriental word first used by the historian Xenophon denoting the parks of Persian kings and nobles. Now, Xenophon was a Greek historian and philosopher. He lived in Athens. He studied under Socrates. And it says he first used the word, and it denoted the parks of Persian kings and nobles. And then Vines goes on to say it's of Persian origin, from the old Persian paradaza, P-A-R-I-D-A-Z-A, and it is akin to the Greek peri, which means around, and tychos, which means a wall. And from there, it went into the Greek as paradisos. So what have we got here? We've got a mention of a wall. We've got a mention of a park. So stop and think a minute. What do you picture? A park of the kings and nobles. Picture a secluded place. A park, maybe a garden. I picture a place where the kings and nobles probably went to get away from it all. And what kind of a place would that be? Tranquil, quiet, peaceful. I went to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Can't do without it. Got to have it. Use it all the time. And I looked up the word paradise. There were 3 references to the word paradise. Luke 23 and 43. You probably know what that is already. That's probably the most familiar one. 2 Corinthians 12 and 4. I'm going to read actually verses 2 through 4. But in the 4th verse it mentions paradise. And Revelation 2 and 7. I have several translations of the New Testament. And I looked in all of them that I have. And then I've got a couple. I've got Haley's Handbook and I've got Vine's. And all the translations used the word paradise in all 3 of these verses. So there's not much controversy about what is meant, what the word is that's used there. So let's go to Luke 23 and 43. If you want to follow along, that's fine. If you don't, you'll know this verse too. This is where Jesus is hanging out on the cross with the thief. And he says, 23, he says, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Right? We've all read that verse. And we all know that. Now, in this particular, Thayer, Joseph Henry Thayer wrote a dictionary in the Greek English lexicon. We all know, we've heard of Thayer. Among his definitions for paradise are garden, grove, pleasure ground, park. In this particular verse, Luke 23 and 43, his definition reads like this: "That part of Hades which was thought by the later Jews to be the abode of the souls of the pious until resurrection." That part of Hades, now we know Hades is the waiting place of the dead, right? Both the lost and the saved. We've studied this before, but Hades translates into hell in most language, in most Bible translations. But Hades is the waiting place of the dead, both the saved and the lost, and he says that part of Hades, which was thought by the later Jews to be the abode of the souls of the pious until resurrection. That resurrection refers to when Jesus comes again. Okay, there were three other, Zur quoted three other writers, people that wrote lexicons and dictionaries, and they defined the word paradise in Luke 23 the same way as Thayer did. So they're pretty much in agreement that it's the waiting place of the saved. All the references that I read referred to the fact that Jesus was telling this guy he's going to be saved. Vines was the only one that referred to the fact that they might have in spirit gone somewhere. I'm thinking that Jesus was telling the guy, one of the Vines says he was saying that he was going to take him to heaven to be with the Father. Well, in Luke 20, verse 17, Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, now this is after he's been crucified and resurrected, he tells Mary Magdalene, he says, "I have yet to return to the Father." So, he was hanging on the cross when he told the thief this, then he died, then he was buried, then he was resurrected, and after he was resurrected, he told Mary Magdalene, "I have yet to return to the Father." So I think probably he's just telling the thief on the cross that he's going to be saved. Jesus says, "You're going to be saved." Is what he's telling. So the point here is that we have one use of the word paradise, and one translation. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4. Paul's talking here, writing, he says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." The third heaven, okay? "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." So we have a direct link here between the third heaven and paradise. Now stop and think about our heavens. We've studied this, haven't we? What's the first heaven? Our atmosphere. What's the second heaven? Outer space. Stars, outer space. We call it outer space, right? The third heaven is the abode of God, right? Dwelling place of God. Now, Paul says, "I knew a man caught up into the third heaven." Not much mistake there, is there? Not much controversy about where he's talking. It's always interesting to me that we call the area between our earth and God, we call it space, don't we? It's interesting to me that space, you know, space between God and us. And we've come to realize that space may contain a billion galaxies with a billion stars in each galaxy. Way, very, very vast. We'll never cross it. And I think it's because God doesn't want us in heaven yet. So he puts space in between us and him. I always thought that was kind of interesting. I don't think we'll ever cross it. I don't think we'll make it. God doesn't want us there yet. The time will come, hopefully, but it's not yet. But the point I want to make here is that this verse links the third heaven with paradise. Well, that's not the waiting place of the dead. The waiting place of the saved. Okay, that's where God abodes. And I want to point out here the Greek word. I have a Greek to English lexicon, and it spells out all the words in Greek. And the Greek word here for paradisos varies slightly from a Greek letter by Greek letter. It varies slightly from the one in Luke 23 and the one I'm going to read in the second chapter of Revelation. Those two are the exact word, Greek letter for Greek letter. This one varies. The last two letters are different in it. So, it's a different place, I believe. It refers to heaven. Let's go to Revelation 2 and 7. Where it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church saith unto what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Okay, now this Greek word is exactly the same one as in Luke. And Zur says that it refers to the tree of life in Eden. Now we've got descriptions of the tree of life in Eden. We've got descriptions of the tree of life in heaven. There's a description of that in Revelation also in heaven. But he says his idea of this is that it refers to the tree of life that's referred to in Eden. Be that as it may, he then goes on and refers in this commentary on Revelation 2 and 7. He goes on to refer back to Luke 23 and 43, where he says it's the abode of the righteous after death. And then he goes and references to 2 Corinthians 12 and 4, where he says it's the place where God dwells. Now, isn't that interesting that all three are tied in here in that one comment on that one verse? All three are tied in. Now, when you think of the word paradise in a spiritual sense, what do you normally think of? Do you normally think of heaven? I normally thought of the waiting place of the saved. Didn't normally click right off. I mean, I knew heaven is going to be paradise. We're told that. It's going to be as we define paradise, right? We're told it's going to be no more tears, no more crying. But it just didn't click with me like it will now, as far as hearing the word paradise. Now, it's also interesting that all the spiritual comments that I read from Zur and Thayer and the other commentators, it was interesting that it followed right along with that secular definition in Random House's Collegiate Dictionary. Talked about heaven, the abode of God. Talked about the waiting place of the saved, and it talked about Eden, both in the scriptural and in the secular or literal definitions. Now, my point is this. We throw the word paradise around all the time, don't we? This is paradise. One of the definitions of paradise was a place of supreme happiness. The state of supreme happiness. So you can say, if you're really happy, well, this is paradise, right? Whatever it is. Go to Hawaii, yeah, if I was going to describe paradise on earth, that'd be it. We were down there in January, it was 80 degrees or plus or more every day. It was peaceful, laid back. Hawaiian music was lilting in the air about everywhere you went. Very relaxing, very peaceful. And if I was going to describe a paradise on earth, that'd be as close as I could get, probably. But we say, this is paradise. This is paradise on earth. But what really to us should be paradise? Where is our paradise? When we hear that word, what do we think? The place where we should be trying to get to. And yes, I just stood up here and butchered the English language. But the place we're trying to get to should be our paradise. We should be trying to get to the waiting place of the saved. We should be trying to get to the abode of God. That should be our paradise. When we're out in the world and we're doing our job or we're doing whatever it is we're doing, We need to think more about where we're going. I'm not sure we all think about where we're going enough. I've stopped and thought about that a lot here lately, and I certainly have not been. That should guide everything we do, is that we should think, now where am I going here? I'm going to paradise. I want to get to heaven. Right? There's the scripture says, love not the world nor the things in it. Now, there's nothing wrong with being happy on earth. I gave a talk a while back about being merry. We don't have to be woe is me. We don't have to be sad. We can be happy here on earth. But not to let that get in the way of our salvation, or the pursuit of that, or the pursuit of paradise on earth. Our paradise, what we are to be looking for, where we are going, should be the paradise of the spiritual definition. You know, whether it be the waiting place of the saved, whether it be where God lives. Those should be our destinations. When we die, we need to be in the waiting place of the saved. And we all know then where we'll go after that, right? Love not the world, nor the things in it. Matthew 6 and 33 is one of my favorite verses. It says, seek, he talks about the lilies of the field, they don't toil and spin, but God clothes them. The birds, they don't sow and reap, but God feeds them. And then it says in the 33rd verse, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in the Beatitudes, it says, blessed be those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for what? They shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. My message today is that we should put priority on hungering and thirsting after righteousness, seeking first the kingdom, attaining the goal to where we're trying to get. We should be aware that heaven awaits, and we should be aware as we live our life as to where we're going. And hopefully that will be paradise. So that's my lesson this morning. We'll offer the gospel invitation. In order to get to paradise, we're told that we need to be baptized. We know that. We need to be baptized. Come forward and be baptized. So at this time, we'll invite you to come forward to do that. If you have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.